This block of text we have today is at the ending of Mark's Gospel. It's canonical. It's part of the inspired text, but it's most likely not by Mark. It's a summary of the material that was known in the whole community and summed up in Luke, the remark about the two men. Where is that now? After this, he appeared another form to two of them walking along. That's surely from the tradition in Luke, and so forth. The most ironic thing about the text is he comes to the 11, the chosen. They've heard this and this and this witness. They don't believe. He comes to them himself and rebukes them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And then he takes these people and says, now go out into the whole world and preach the gospel everywhere. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, they weren't the best candidates for this. In a way they were, in the sense that they weren't like emotional and hysterical and ready to believe anything. It took a lot to convince them that he was alive. In the first reading, we have still the consequences of the raise of the healing of that lame man at the temple gate. It's an amazing story. And again, there's so much there. The irrefrangible fact is that Jesus is risen from the dead. You see, they order them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John said, judge for yourselves whether it's right in the sight of God to obey you rather than God. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. Now that includes these fellows who were so rebuked for their lack of faith. When they saw, they could not stop talking about it. They were being directed by the Holy Spirit, and they were given the power. There's a thing about these healings that might be useful to reflect on for a moment. Yes, remember, this is not theater. This is gospel. Why did he heal that man? To make a show? Hey, I'm risen? No, because he loved that man and wanted to heal him of what was wrong with him. That man is not a means to an end. He's a brother of Jesus. There's a big difference. I can remember when I was preaching in India and with a team, and by golly, we saw so many healings. It was I don't know. I mean, I can think one afternoon we had this big meeting and there were thousands there. I don't know, 300 or 400 or 500 people were healed. It was beautiful. What's the drive behind Jesus' evangelistic energies? Compassion. Love. He gets out of the boat and he sees them. And he's moved with compassion. This is a favorite word in the Gospels. It's only in the use of Jesus, splagnizomai. It means to be moved in your inner depths, to really be moved. The only time it's used of anybody else is in our Lord's story about the Good Samaritan, which is a story about himself, so it's okay for him do that, I guess. He's trying to illustrate, well, who, you know, which one's neighbor? Well, Jesus. See, if the criterion is not who people are and how close they come to me, but am I neighbor to them? Right? Who was neighbor to the one who was hurt? Not, was that man a neighbor to anybody who walked by? No. He's a Samaritan of virtues. No, who was neighbor to him? Who took his responsibility of being a neighbor? The Samaritan, or if you will, Jesus. And so we have here, you see, this, the compassion of Jesus for this man. He is not an instrument of propaganda. He's the image of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And his compassion. That man had been there for how long? Crippled. And what is he trying to prove to show to the others? I'm risen from the dead. All the power of God is even in my risen body now. Come to me. Let the world know about me. You know, I was thinking, praying upstairs a bit, and Cardinal Newman has a marvelous distinction about knowledge. And he talks about a notional ascent and a real ascent. I'm trying to think of, the best example is the resurrection, but I'm trying to get another one too. Well, we'll start with that one, end with that one too. But you get it? Jesus is risen from the dead. You got that, right? You understand that? Yes, you assent to the notion. Do you assent to the reality? How real is Jesus to you? Do you know him as risen? Of course you're good Catholics, you're all going to say that. You know, a guy came in and shot you, you'd get shot rather than deny it. But that's a devout notional assent. What about a real ascent? I know he's risen from the dead. That can begin with baptism in the Spirit. That's what it is, right? It's that, it initiates that movement from notional to real. These guys are standing there in front of all the leaders of their people. And even the crowd there, the scribes, and even the scribes are mentioned this time. The scribes. Scribes are the ones, you see, the theologian types. They're not usually at these meetings. And they're all there. And what do these two men, fishermen, have to go on? We know Jesus. We know that he's alive. So the compassion of Jesus. What does Jesus want to happen through the healing of this man? He wants his own flesh and blood to believe in him and come to salvation. These are his people. They've resisted him. They have ultimately killed him, mocking him when he died. But he wants them, it's compassion. And so you see, these fellows are saying, well, figure out for yourselves, should we obey you or God? There is a distinction, you know. You might be the leaders of the people, but you're not God. We know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We know it. And we can't stop telling about it because your eternal salvation probably hangs on you accepting this fact. If you look then through the history of the church, 2 millennia, the missionaries, what drives them? Compassion. That people will know. It makes a big difference When you think right now, the people in Sudan being persecuted, and don't they deserve to know Jesus and be consoled and strengthened? Yes. That's why people go there to preach. This whole ministry given to the church, you see, is a participation in that compassion, you see, that mercy of Jesus. Tomorrow we have Mercy Sunday. Whether it be raising the dead, healing the blind, preaching the word, whatever it is, it's missionary activity. And if you read the Gospels, he was moved with compassion and sent them out. So there's two things I think we can take from these texts as we end this Easter week. One is, do I have notional or real assent to the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? How well do I know him? How intimately can I speak with him? How much do I really trust him? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the gift of Easter time. The other part of it is, if I know him, I will be driven by what drove him. Mercy. You see, Pope John Paul II, in a marvelous writing, encyclical on mercy, talks about the difference between mercy and pity. Pity looks to the need. Mercy looks to the person. I can look to the need because people's needs bother me. Or I can look to the person and see Christ. We have massive billion-dollar aid movements, which are generous enough. Huh? But is it pity? And in that element of pity, is there something? I mean, we have multi-billionaires saying they're going to take the money from the rich and give it to the poor, all but their own, of course. See, what kind of mercy is that? It's always been a characteristic of the great missionaries, whether they be down in Washington or in Uganda or wherever, that they're with the people. The mercy has to have flesh. Look at Mother Teresa. You know, what's the name of that famous priest? Père, comment il s'appelle? No, French priest. Padre Pio, of course. But he went down and spent his life in the depth of the real slums of Paris with rag pickers, like Rick Thomas did with people picking over the garbage in Juarez. And finally they drove him nuts. And he was overdoing it. He cracked up, got rested, and went back. Presence. We're going to move on now. This will be the end of Easter week. So what happens? We'll go on reading Acts, which is supposed to be what? The story of our lives. It's the life of Christ lived in the church. It's there for us to grasp, because that's supposed to be our life. And then we'll start a treatise on the sacraments, because that's the way Christ acts in his church, with divine power. So we'll do John 3 on baptism, John 6 on the Eucharist. And that's supposed to, the church is helping us see is the Lord is alive. To move us from where we're, at least at the edges, got notional ascent. So that we have real ascent. The quickest way to get there is prayer. Hang around with Jesus and you get to know how real he is.